Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.
Well, Vic, good to see everyone this morning. Thank you, Pastor Poju. Thank you, Pastor Toyin. I just love this family. I don't know about you, but they're absolutely phenomenal people. And they're genuine. You know, there's some people that you just have to put plastic face with because they're plastic people, but these ones are real. Father, we thank you for them. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their sincerity. Thank you for the gift that they are to the body of Christ. Father, we speak honor and blessing to overtake them like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. If you love your pastors, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We appreciate you. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. I'm excited today. The love of my life is in the house. And I'm always so humbled, honestly. My husband in his own right, of course, he's the president of a university, he's the head of Church of God Mission, he's all these different things, but when it comes to me, he's just my sweetheart. And like, this morning he's like, can I make you tea? Can I do anything for you? I'm like, which husband? I don't know. If you can join me to put your hands together for my wonderful husband. He's absolutely fabulous. He flew with the children yesterday from Benin. Let me trace back. He packed the children yesterday. And this morning when we're looking for their clothes, they were complete. Ladies, I think we need to give them another round of applause. Everything that was needed was there. He packed the children. He brought them with us this morning or yesterday. And I was going to bring them with me, but their cousins live in Lagos. And they wanted to spend some time with their cousins today. So we went ahead and let them go have a continued Christmas break. So they're with their cousins this afternoon. But they all send their love and greetings and hugs. And you're probably better without them running up and down. Amen. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and life. It gives understanding to our simplicity. Father, we thank you for all that you are, all that you ever will be. Father, we thank you that when we hear from you, there's a shift. When we hear from you, there's a change. Father, we thank you for revelation knowledge. I want you to begin to put a demand on the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the real teacher. There's some things you're going to hear this morning that you're not going to hear with your natural ears. You're going to hear from the ears of the Spirit. They're never going to come through this microphone, but they're going to come in an inward knowledge. They're going to come from a voice on the inside of you that you might say, oh, I love that Reverend Laurie said this, and you go back to listen to the message again and you find out that she never said it because it was the Holy Spirit speaking to you individually and personally. That's what I want you to put a demand on this morning. That person of the Holy Spirit who is the true teacher in our midst. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your grace that's in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Rume, for that message. The very first session, God bless you. Amen. Put your hands together one more time for him. And our pastors are with us from Church of God Mission. This morning, Pastor Chris, Pastor Toyin, Pastor Uyi. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being with us. And my brother in love is also here. Jay is here. So thank you, Jay, my husband's younger brother. God bless you. Amen. So this morning, the message that the Lord put in my spirit to share is that it's time for a glow up. Everybody say glow up. Now the ladies know what I'm talking about. The guys are like, huh? Everybody say glow up. It's time for a glow up, and this is all founded in the Word of God. This is not Instagram talk. Amen. It's time for a glow up. Have you ever had somebody tell you, you're glowing? Most of us ladies have experienced that usually when we're pregnant, right? Because they don't want to quite say, are you pregnant? So they find some way around and they're like, oh, you're glowing. And they just wait for that little bit of confirmation that's like, Right? I want you to turn to somebody next to you this morning and tell them, you're glowing. Turn to a man next to you this morning and tell him, you're glowing. Amen. Amen. Yesterday, Pastor Andy Osakwe did a phenomenal job opening the morning sessions. And he opened with this scripture, and I'm going to be building on the foundation that he shared yesterday in the first session that opened up the morning. And he shared from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. It says in the New Living Translation, it says, arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises on you. Everybody say, let your light shine. In other words, glow. Everybody say, glow. All right. Darkness as black as night covers the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. Everybody says the glory of the Lord. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, in the ESV version, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except that it be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever tried to eat salt alone? Maybe you mistook salt for sugar. And you put just a pinch or a spoonful or something. Right? There's something that happens when you taste salt, and salt all by itself, it kind of, right? There's a rejection that we feel when we taste salt all by itself. Because if we're the salt of the earth, we're not meant to operate in isolation. The same way that salt itself cannot be consumed in isolation. It's meant to be added. Let your strength add to my strength. Let your gift add to my gift. Let the anointing on your life add to the anointing on my life. We are one body fitly joined together where every joint supplies. So if we're the salt of the earth, we're meant to be combined, connected, and intertwined with one another. Everybody say glow. Your glow is directly relational to the people that you're connected to. We are the salt of the earth. If the salt lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Verse 14, you are the light of the world. You might say, but wait, Jesus is the light of the world. This scripture right here is very clear. Everybody say, you are the light of the world. You are the light that people will see. You are the hope. You are the illumination that people need to know what to do or to know where to go. Put your hand on your heart and say, I'm valuable. I'm important. Do you know that without light, this conference could not hold? If we didn't have the lights that could run the cameras, that could make the environment comfortable for all of us, we would be having just two or three people in a room and talking to them. But because of light, we can function. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people put a light on a lamp and put it in a basket. But they put it on a stand so that it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and do what? Give glory to your Father which is in heaven. Everybody say, let my light shine. It's time for a glow up. It's time for us to find some principles and proven ways to let the light of Jesus Christ that you and I have on the inside of us illuminate the world that's around us. Too many of us are wasting our lives. Wasted time, wasted lives, wasted years, wasted decades, doing absolutely nothing. You might say, what did you accomplish in 2022? Oh, I had a great year. A great year doing what? The only way your light can truly shine is if you know your purpose. And you fulfill that purpose. Anything that you do, anything that you accomplish outside of purpose is meaningless. It's just life. But I believe that God has called you and I to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and they would glorify our Father which is in heaven. Your life matters. The things that you do with your life, the conversations that you have, the connections that you have, they are important. And I believe that today God is connecting us with purpose. Amen? He's called us to flourish. It says in the book of Psalm chapter 92 in the New Living Translation. And I love this scripture in verse 10. Most of us start down a little lower in verse 12 where it talks about you're going to flourish like the palm tree. But I'm going to go up a little higher to verse 10. Psalm chapter 92, verse 10 in the New Living Translation. It says, you have made me as strong as a wild ox. Now just get a picture in your mind of what a wild ox looks like. Wild, strong, powerful. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's made you as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies, and my ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted in the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. Some of us have counted ourselves out because of our age. We've said, okay, I've retired. It's now time for the next generation to take over. I cannot find retirement in the Bible. It doesn't exist. What did the prophets and the men of old? They didn't retire. They served and they served and they served. And some of us are saying, oh, some of these people in some positions and seats of authority need to retire. There is a place for everyone. There's a responsibility. God did not call us to just sit back, fold our arms, and just say, okay, let's just let life end like that. No, even in our old age, we should still produce fruit. Some of you right now are frustrated with your parents' health. You're looking at your parents or your grandparents, and you're saying, oh, I just wish that they were stronger. I wish they could do this. I wish that they could do that. Give them purpose and they will revive. But people that don't have purpose will just waste away into nothingness. Give them a grandchild to take care of. Give them some. Am I talking the truth? Have you not seen, have you ever taken your child over to grandma's house? And grandma's sitting there and she's tired. Every day, not my waist. Oh. I beg, bring me this. You bring the grandchild. Hey, my baby! Right? Because suddenly she has a purpose. She has something she can do. She has somebody who needs her. She has something that she can pour her life into. If you're worried about your aging parents, find something meaningful. Find something purposeful and give them something to do and you will see them flourish. You will see them revive. You'll see them wake up again. You'll see strength come into their being. I believe God's speaking to somebody this morning. Hallelujah. Says that they're going to remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. So we're having a glow up, right? So when I think of somebody who's glowing, when I think of somebody who's shining, what are the things that I think of? I think of somebody who's happy. Somebody who's well taken care of. Somebody who's glowing is somebody who is fit. Somebody who's energetic. Somebody who's maybe popular, fun to be with, secure, financially secure, emotionally secure, has a strong sense of purpose, popular, well-spoken, These are all things that we think of when we think of somebody that's glowing up. Everybody say, that's me. Amen. So this morning I'm going to talk about some proven ways that you can have your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your God which is in heaven. Some proven ways that you can shine, that you can glow. I'm going to share with us 8 of them, and then I'm going to go through them one by one very briefly. Number 1, identify purpose. Number 2, avoid comparison. Number 3, foster meaningful relationships. If you don't catch them all, you'll catch them as we go through. Number 4, fill up on the right stuff. Number 5, avoid people pleasing and be a God pleaser. Number 6, be authentic. And number 7, develop an eternal perspective. And if we get to it, number 8, communicate. So let's start very quickly with identify purpose. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, in the Amplified Version, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the one who practices sin, separating himself from God and offending him by acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion, is of the devil and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's laws from the beginning. The end of this says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Now you think about Jesus, and Jesus could have come to this earth to have done absolutely anything he wanted. He was the Godhead bodily, right? He was God the Father in the flesh. He could have come here to be the greatest natural king. He could have come here to do anything that he wanted. But as we've shared here in this convention already, the only thing that truly pleased the Father was when Jesus did the will of his Father. And what did he come for? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus knew his purpose. So I assume, just like the Bible says, Jesus was tempted in all ways, just like you and I. So when temptations would come to pull Jesus off course, to have him do something that was outside of the agenda of his Father, Jesus had a strong word that directed his actions. Purpose will inform your decisions. When you know where you're going, it helps you put guardrails around you so that anything that is off course, I shared a little bit about that yesterday. Anything that is off course, it doesn't have the authority to penetrate you because you know where you're going. You must identify your purpose. Too many of us don't understand our assignment here on this earth. Yesterday, I talked about how we should hear from God in a big way, and I talked about how all of us have regular ways that we hear from God, and then there's those individual words that God speaks to us that are life-transforming. But maybe you haven't had that experience of a big life-transforming word. You're saying, well, I don't really know my purpose. I don't really know why I'm here on this earth. Well, let me tell you, every single one of us has a purpose. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out from the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet of the nations. Jesus had a purpose before he was born. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from his sin, from their sins. Jesus had a purpose. You and I have a purpose. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians in the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 18. It says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. So in case you haven't had that big aha moment, in case you haven't had that big, like, this is, I'm called to be this or I'm called to be that, and you're in a place of wondering and quandering, you really just don't know why you exist, you can take this scripture and you can put this on your mirror. This is the purpose that he was given. He brought you here to this earth. God has given to us the task. He has given to us the responsibility of reconciling man back to God. So if you don't have your big aha word from God, or God speaking to you in that big way, you can take this and say, you know what? I may not know specifics about why I'm here, but this scripture is enough for me. So every day of my life, I'm going to use this word as a guardrail. And I'm going to say, Laurie, every day are you reconciling man back to God? Every day are you using your life to impact the world with the gospel? We are only here on this earth for like a second. Like a moment. Life is so short. The part of life that really matters isn't this one that we live in our natural human body. It's the eternal life that we're going to have after this life. And so everything that we do here on this earth matters. Does your life reconcile man back to God? Or are you a person that stirs up strife? Are you a person that's known for quarreling? Are you a person who's known for... No. We should all be reconciling man back to God. Amen? What is your purpose? To reconcile man back to God. So don't ever let anybody make you feel like you don't know why you're here. And don't let yourself go through that feeling of uncertainty with your life of why do I exist? Why am I here? If somebody says, oh, what's your purpose? I'm here to reconcile man back to God. And that's enough. If you never hear another one, that's enough. If every day of your life you live to reconcile man back to God, your mansion is going to be bigger than most of the big preachers. Because some of them have gotten off course and have forgotten their true love. Everybody say, reconcile man back to God. Find your purpose. Another thing that helps us shine or let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our God which is in heaven is when we avoid comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. When we live comfortably in the person that He's created us to be, we have to stop comparing our assignment to somebody else's assignment. Let me tell you, I was listening to Apostle preach this morning. I cannot preach like him if I try. I cannot. It absolutely 100%, I would be a complete fraud. I'm up here, the seals of the book. What? You'll be looking at me like, huh? What is she talking about? Because I can't be him. And he can certainly not be me. And I'm comfortable not being him. And I can tell you he's very comfortable not being me. Right? Because we're very different. You could not have chosen, Pastor Twain, you could not have chosen two different speakers for this morning session. I mean, as in... I was listening, I'm like, uh-uh. How am I, what am I going to do? Like, it's not me. Right? It doesn't make it wrong. It makes it fantastic. Because that's who he is. That's who God created him to be. Amen? So be comfortable in who God created you to be. An eagle would feel really frustrated if he tried to live the life of a lion. Both are powerful. Different assignments. So I want us to be very clear with ourselves and who God has called us to be. In Galatians, I'm reading from the Message Bible. Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. It says, don't be impressed with yourself. And don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. One of the biggest causes of frustration that we have is when we're trying to be somebody that we're not. When I first moved to Nigeria, I tried to be my mother-in-law. I am nothing like my mother-in-law. She is so regal. Like, she walks into a room, she just glides. And everybody's like, whoa, a queen is here. I mean, she just has this presence. She's phenomenal in that way. I'm an American. Like, I didn't even know how to stand tall until I got here. Because we just walk like... My mother-in-law had to, like, teach me. She was like, Lori, I beg, oh, please, just stand up. You are Nidahosa now. And so I would use her as a model, and I would try to stand like Mama and walk like Mama. And it did help me. It gave me... I've taken some of those things. But I'm not Mama. Even Mama, when I was trying to dress like Mama. She dresses with all this shine, everything. Tied gilet. She was tying these. The gilet was painting my ears, my head. I was having marks across my forehead. I was like struggling. And then finally she set me free. She said, I don't know why you're struggling with all this stuff. I'm like, you mean I'm free? She was like, be free. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Don't try to be who you're not. You'll frustrate yourself. And you'll frustrate the people that are around you. Amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 in the New Living Translation says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. When you do your work well, my kids had an assignment recently, and it was one of my children had a big project they were doing for school. And they started calling each other and asking each other, what are you doing for your assignment? And this one's like, oh, I have lights that are coming out of my board. I'm building a big model. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And my kids started being like, oh no, mine's not going to be good enough. Because look at what they're doing and look what they're doing. I'm like, no, you put 100% into yours. You do your own creative best. And we brought it. It was very different than everybody else's, but it was my son's own creation. And he brought it, and guess what mark he got? 100%. He didn't copy his friends. If he had tried to copy his friends, he would have failed woefully. But he did his best with his own creation, and he scored very well. Do your best with who you were created to be, and you will score very well in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 in the Berean Study Bible. It says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they show their ignorance. Write the scripture down in case you didn't get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. People who compare themselves with themselves, they show their ignorance. Number three, way to have your glow up is you foster meaningful relationships. You've got to be connected. And yesterday I talked about how in 2023 we have to watch our connections. Pay attention to your connections and have meaningful relationships. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 in the King James Version, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. It's important who you hang out with. Whoever you associate with is who you will eventually become like. My husband always tells our children, if you get four fools in a room, you'll be the fifth. You get four intelligent people into a room, you'll be the fifth. Who do you hang out with? Who do you associate with? That's going to affect your level of glowing, your level of shining, your level of being able to let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your God, which is in heaven. Who do you associate with? It matters. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, he that walks with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you look at the top five friends, the last five people, if you open up your phone right now, open up your WhatsApp, and you look at the last five people that you had conversations with, and ask yourself, are they the wise ones or are they the fools? If you walk with the wise, you're going to be what? If you walk with the fools, you're going to be what? It's easy, isn't it? The Bible's not hard. Some people think, oh, it's so hard to grasp the truth. No, it's simple. Walk with wise people, you're wise. Walk with fools, you'll be a fool. Your connections really matter. It's also important that you have connections, that you avoid isolation. Isolation is a work of the enemy. Isolation is not a gift from God. I can't find in all the gifts from God anywhere that it tells us to be isolated. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, it talks about the value of a friend, and it talks about how two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If one falls, the other will lift him up, but woe unto him who falls when he has no one to help him up. Now, if you're struggling with making friends, maybe you moved newly to Lagos, or you're new in a town or an environment, and all your friends are not where you are. Maybe you're watching online this morning, and you've just moved abroad, and you don't have your people there. You don't have that community. You don't have that sense of fellowship, and you're like, how am I going to vibe here because I don't have my people? If you're friendly, you will have friends. Simple. It's easy. You simply reach out to people. You're kind to people. You make yourself available. And then you're intentional about who you're kind to. You don't go out to the pub to make your friends. You might say, oh, but in this culture, you know, everybody's in the pub. Is that where you want to be? Some things that are cultural are not necessarily spiritual. So you don't just follow what the culture is doing in the environment where you find yourself. You're a new creation reality. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Just because I'm speaking to some people this morning, I believe that somebody needs to hear this morning. Just because you moved abroad does not mean that the abroad should enter you. You have character, you have morals, you have integrity, you have standards. You have a commitment with Christ. Allow that to be your standard. And I'll tell you, water finds its level. So when you maintain your standard, you will find people of like mind, of like spirit. And don't settle for less. Don't allow yourself to drop who you are just because of the environment that you found yourself in. Find those friends, like it says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, where it says, iron sharpens iron. Find those friends. Find those people who you can connect with. You can have covenant relationships like Jonathan had with David, where their souls were knit together. I pray for covenant relationships for you in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will supernaturally give you the friendships that will build you and lift you up. You can have a family covenant relationship like Ruth did with her mother-in-law, Naomi, where she was able to say to her mother-in-law, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Talk about a friendship. Talk about a covenant. Where the mother-in-law was telling her, listen, go your way. You're free now. My son is dead. Go and find another man. Start your life again. And because she was connected in covenant to her mother-in-law, her life followed the pattern of covenant. And we know what happened. She was obedient to her mother-in-law in her new environment, even though her mother-in-law was going through depression, saying, call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Even though she was struggling in that way, God still supernaturally used that relationship. She still followed her mother. She didn't judge her mother-in-law when she was down, because she was connected with her in a covenant relationship. And we know that that covenant relationship and the obedience that Ruth had to her mother-in-law eventually produced the relationship which produced Jesus, the Boaz, which produced and produced and produced and produced. And then here we are with Jesus. That's found in Ruth chapter 1, if you want to go back and read that in verse 16. There's the covenant relationship of marriage. Some of you are desiring marriage so badly. Let me encourage you. Desire to build yourself, and God will give you a person of equal character. Stop seeking relationships. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Stop looking for a man posting pictures on Instagram of yourself half-dressed just so that he might see something that he likes. If that's why he marries you, that thing will drop. And if that's what attracted him and that's what brought him to you, that's also the thing that's going to attract him and bring him to somebody else. So let him love you for the woman that you are. Let him love you for the character that's on the inside of you. The one thing I love about my husband, and he thinks I'm the most beautiful woman in the world, but let me tell you, if I wasn't, he would still love me. If I didn't have whatever it is that I have that attracted him in the first place, doesn't matter. He took care of me. There was one time I had a spinal surgery. And I was laid up in the bed for over a month. I couldn't move from the bed. I was in traction because of the spinal surgery that I had. My husband didn't love me any less. He was right there loving me, taking care of me, doing whatever he could do to support and care for me. He didn't care about the way I looked. And trust me, I looked rough that period. He didn't care because it wasn't my looks that he was married to. Yes, we have to take care of ourselves and all of that. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, please. But I am saying that you want to find a spouse who loves you for more than that. Because those things, beauty is fleeting, amen? You want to find a guy, like it says in Matthew chapter 19, who will leave his father and mother and will cling to his wife. I know our culture says that the woman leaves her father and mother and clings to the husband, but the Bible says, I mean, thank you, Jesus. You didn't hear me say it. Another way that you can have a glow up is you can fill up on the right stuff. If you wouldn't, you know, we are what we eat, right? So whatever you consume is what you manifest. So fill up on the right stuff. Whatever you take into your life eventually shows out to the world. Whatever you take into your life eventually shows out in your conversations. If you take in a lot of gossip, you will be a gossip. If you take in the news every single night, all you're going to talk about is Buhari. What are you taking? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Buhari. Please, God, I didn't say it. What I'm saying is that whatever you take in is what you manifest. So you have to fill up on the right stuff. You have to consume the right content. You have to find who can feed you. And please, stop feeding on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. I'm there. I post content. There's some people that use my content as their Bible. Please don't. If you're not reading the Bible for yourself, if you're not growing yourself in the Word, then you're doing yourself an injustice. I have a friend who forwards me Instagram posts. She's in a very bad place emotionally right now. And she forwards me like 20 Instagram posts a day. And I'm like, no wonder she's suffering emotionally. Because she's consuming the mindsets of the world. Where these people are saying, you're better than him. You're better than that. Don't let any man treat you like this. Bah, 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 bah. There's so many divergent thoughts that are out there. You have got to know the truth of God's word. You have to have a standard. You have to have a foundation. Otherwise, you'll be just completely confused. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us, The word of God is alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You are what you eat. So fill up on the right stuff. I applaud each and every one of you for starting your year with Wild Beck. I mean, this is not a meal. Okay, if you eat a meal, you're hungry the next day. This is like overload. It's like they put like 10 different buffets and put them together into one and said, oh, y'all go and eat. It's much. The information that you consume this week is very intentional for your life. You're filling up on the right stuff. And when you fill up on the right stuff, you're going to manifest the right stuff. You're going to be able to let your work so shine before men that they will see your God and glorify him. Amen? Number five, you need to avoid being a people pleaser and be a God pleaser. Avoid people pleasing and be a God pleaser. Now, I want to read a scripture, and I want to look at it a little differently than the typical mindset might look at. I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. This is the earmark of a God pleaser. Now, if this offends some of you right now, I'm sorry, I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Avoid being a people pleaser, be a God pleaser. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So all of us that are praying about our enemies, we are wasting our prayers. God, deliver me from my enemies. Let my enemies be destroyed. Let me see the fall of my enemies. Let my enemies see me flourish and laugh. I will laugh when they see me flourish. Repeat after me. They will laugh when I flourish. Let's look at the Bible. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. If you have a long list of enemies, your ways are not pleasing God. So your prayers might need to change. Instead of praying about your enemies, you might need to pray about yourself. Father, let my ways be pleasing unto you. Let my ways be pleasing unto you. Let my ways be pleasing unto you. Because I know that when my ways please you, even my enemies, they can't even find fault with me. They're at peace with me. Some of you are struggling in so many areas. Let your ways please the Lord. The enemy of your in-law, when your way pleases the Lord, your in-law will be at peace with you. The enemy of your neighbor, when your ways please the Lord, your neighbor will be at peace with you. The enemy of your boss, who's trying to sabotage your career, when your ways please the Lord, even your boss will be at peace with you. This is the way to have a glow up in 2023. Hallelujah. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, it says, those that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. So your ways cannot please the Lord if you are in the flesh. You see the correlation between the two scriptures? So let's get out of the flesh and let's live in the Spirit. Let's be God pleasers instead of being man pleasers. Amen? Hallelujah. Number six, be authentic. Everybody say authentic. Be who God truly created you to be. Listen, you can only keep up a facade for so long. This is why we encourage people that are in the dating stage. How many of you are in the stage before marriage? You've not yet gotten married. You're looking for a spouse. Be honest. You're like, I can't say I'm looking because they will put one eye on me. How many of you are not yet married? Raise your hand. Okay, now more of you. You're afraid of that looking for a spouse, Abby. All right, if you're not yet married, one of the advice that we give to single people is don't get married too quickly. Because people can be fake. And their fake life can only last but for so long. Eventually, the true self will come out. So if you meet somebody and you say, oh, it's love at first sight. Now, I'll be really honest with you. When I met my husband, I was 13. He was 14. It was love at first sight. I really thought I loved him. But it wasn't until I married him and I had to deal with him that I knew that love is not just butterflies, but love is work. Love is commitment. Love is covenant. Love is loyalty. Love is so much more than that butterfly bubbly feeling you have on the inside of your spirit. Love is more than passion. Love is more than sex. Love is more than romance. Love is more than flowers. Love is more than he posted me on Instagram. I saw some people in the hotel this morning and they were literally changing partners in my presence. My husband and I were sitting down having breakfast and there was these like four different couples. And first the guy was holding one girl's hand and she now pushed back. He now starts holding the other girl's hand. I'm like, my God, my God. Let me tell you, don't marry quickly. Take your time. Know the person. Because authenticity takes time to show, especially for the person that's perfected being inauthentic. Amen. God uses authentic people. If you look at Joseph, Joseph was authentic. Joseph was who he was from the time his brothers threw him into the pit. There was a certain character that he had, wasn't it? And then when that character was tested, and he now went to prison, he went to Potiphar's house, he went to the palace, Joseph was all over the place, right? I mean, he went from one position to the next, to the next, to the next. But there was one thing that was steadfast was his character. When he was in prison, he didn't start acting like the inmates. Yo. He was able to use something else, a gift that God had given him to survive in that environment. He didn't have to morph himself into somebody else just to fit into an environment to save himself. He kept authentically, he remained authentic. He remained steadfast in who he was in character. Look for the people in your life who are steadfast. And ask yourself, am I steadfast? Am I authentic? Or am I like a chameleon? When I was a teenager, one of my parents had told me, and this was something I actually suffered with, I dealt with in my teenage years. My mom at a time had died. I already said one of my parents, now I told you it's my mom. My mom had told me, she said, Laura, you're a chameleon. And I said, what's a chameleon? And she was like, every environment you get in, you just act like them. You're on the field hockey team, you act like you're a sports person. You're in the library, you act like you're an intelligent person. She was like, you have to find out who you really are or you'll never be somebody. One of the best gifts that she could have given me was that lesson. Stop being a chameleon. Be who you really are called to be. Amen? Amen. There's a lot of scriptures to share there, but I'm not going to go further. Finally, I want us to have to develop an eternal perspective. Everybody say eternity. Stop worrying about the things that don't really matter and keep an eternal perspective. This is the way you're going to have a glow up in 2023. Those things that don't matter are just going to roll right off of you. If you're carrying weight and anxiety and worry and frustration, it's going to show all over your face. Let it go. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, he's going to keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So finally, brethren, eternal perspective, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. When we have an eternal perspective, it changes our life. And we're able to live that purpose-filled life where our whole agenda in life is to reconcile man to God. Where we can be authentic. We can do these different things that I shared about today because our life is not here. Our life here is but for a moment. But our life is meant to be anchored in Christ. Looking forward to the hope that is set before us. Just like Jesus did. For the hope that was set before him, he endured the cross. When you know where you're going for eternity, it matters. It changes the way you live in your everyday life. And it's time for us in 2023 to have our glow up in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to stand on our feet. I want you to say after me, say, I will let my light shine before men that they would see my good works and glorify my God, which is in heaven. Now I want you to place your hand on your heart and just begin to pray for yourself. Throughout the message, many of us found ourselves in one area or another. The Holy Spirit used the word as a reproof. It brought correction. It brought an uncomfortability. It identified something in our lives. I want you to begin to pray for that particular area of your life and just begin to thank God that he roots out everything that is unholy, that he removes everything that is ungodly, and that you're able to walk in the fullness of who he's called you to be in this 2023 in Jesus' name. Just begin to pray, church. Just begin to pray in the spirit. There's a power of God that's in this place right now, putting us in perspective, helping us realign ourselves with what God has truly called us to be and what he's called us to do. Father, we receive your grace to walk in this abundance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.